Hey everyone, welcome back. I am so excited about today's topic. We're diving into a part of the Bible that I think is often overlooked, but seriously fascinating. Have you ever heard of the Song of Solomon?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely one of the more unique books in the Bible.
Right, it's like this collection of poems, just beautiful poetry celebrating love and desire between a man and a woman. But here's the thing: there's no mention of God, no laws, no moral lessons, really. It's just straight up romance. And it's kind of shocking when you think about where it's found.
Yeah, I mean, it's tucked right in there between Ecclesiastes, which is all about the meaninglessness of life, and Isaiah with all those prophecies.
Exactly. So I'm really curious to get your take on why this book is even in the Bible in the first place. Like, what's the deal with that?
Well, you're not alone in wondering that. It's been a source of debate for centuries, honestly. I mean, you've got all these other books talking about sin and redemption, and then boom, you've got this incredibly sensual, passionate love poetry.
It's like finding a hidden love letter in a textbook on, like, legal codes or something.
That's a great analogy, and it really highlights how the Bible is this complex collection of texts with so many different voices and perspectives. But yeah, the Song of Solomon definitely stands out.
And not just because of its placement, it's the language too, right? Like, there's some pretty intense imagery in there. One passage describes the woman's breasts as clusters of grapes. You know, like, that's not something you typically hear in a church sermon.
You're telling me. There's another line comparing her navel to a rounded goblet full of spiced wine.
Whoa. It's definitely not your typical Sunday school material.
Not at all. But it does raise interesting questions about how the Bible has been interpreted over time. Like, how did early Christians grapple with this very sensual text?
That's what I'm curious about.
Well, some tried to downplay the sensuality, arguing it was actually an allegory for Christ's love for the church.
So not even about actual human love at all.
Yeah, some saw it that way. Others interpreted it as a celebration of marital love, a way to affirm the beauty of physical intimacy within marriage.
I see. Trying to fit it into a more acceptable box.
Exactly. But even if we look at it through that lens of married love, there are still aspects that feel, well, a little uncomfortable from a modern
Right,
perspective.
like the way the woman is described, it's undeniably beautiful poetry, but at times it feels like she's being objectified, reduced to just her physical attributes.
Yeah, there's this focus on her body, comparing her features to objects, even possessions. Like one line says, "Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead." I mean, goats.
I mean, not exactly the most flattering comparison.
Right. And it raises questions about power dynamics, too. The Song of Solomon doesn't really give us insight into the complexities of their relationship, you know, if it was truly equal, or the societal norms that might have shaped it.
We're talking about a time when arranged marriages were the norm, and women often had very little say in their own lives.
Absolutely. And while the Song of Solomon presents this kind of idealized, passionate love, it doesn't really acknowledge those broader societal realities.
Kind of makes you wonder if that idyllic portrayal was actually the norm or just like a fantasy.
Right. And it brings us back to that big question. Why is this book even included in the Bible? Is it supposed to be the Word of God? Why include what essentially amounts to a love poem with all this sensuality and potential objectification and these unaddressed power dynamics?
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer. I mean, scholars have been debating this for centuries, like you said.
Exactly. And there are many different interpretations out there. Some argue that the Song of Solomon celebrates the divine gift of love and sexuality within the context of marriage.
So, like, a sacred blessing on that aspect of human experience.
Right. Others see it as an affirmation of human emotions and desires. Like, it's okay to feel these things, to experience passion and longing, and it can even be seen as something sacred.
That's interesting, because for so long there's been this sense that the Bible, you know, particularly the Old Testament, is all about rules and restrictions and kind of suppressing those natural human urges.
Absolutely. And the Song of Solomon challenges that notion in a really powerful way. It's saying, hey, these feelings are real. They're part of who we are, and maybe they have a place in our relationship with the divine, too.
It's a powerful reminder that the Bible isn't this monolithic, one-dimensional text. It's full of surprises and contradictions and raises more questions than it answers sometimes.
And that's why it's so important to approach it and really any religious text with a critical and curious mind. You know, be willing to ask tough questions, consider different perspectives, and be okay with not having all the
I
answers.
love that. It's not about shutting down inquiry. It's about embracing the mystery and the complexity.
Exactly. And the Song of Solomon is a perfect example of that. It's beautiful and confusing and thought-provoking all at the same time.
It really is. And I think it's a reminder that even sacred texts are products of their time and their culture.
Mm-hmm.
We can appreciate the beauty and the wisdom they offer, but we also have to acknowledge their limitations and engage with them critically.
Perfectly put. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up our conversation about the Song of Solomon. It's a reminder that the Bible is anything but simple and straightforward. And if you're looking for something that will challenge your assumptions and make you think, I definitely recommend checking it out.
It's a wild ride.
It really is. Thanks for joining me on this journey. And for everyone listening, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and until next time, happy reading.